Let us turn in our Bibles to the second letter of Paul to Timothy and chapter 4. To Timothy, the fourth chapter, and we read from verse 16. To Timothy 4, the 16th verse. Paul writes, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus abode at Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen."
Amen.
The words of verse 22 are, as far as we know, the last words that Paul wrote to Timothy. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Within a few months of this letter, he faced a second hearing before the Emperor Nero, and the tribunal condemned him to death by beheading. He more or less knew that this would be the outcome, going back to the same chapter and in verse 6 to Timothy 4, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness," and so on. These last written words, therefore, are special and important. And they are about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ with his people. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit." And you'll notice it is expressed in the form of a benediction. "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit." The bestowal of a blessing. Now with us, when we say, "May you be," or "May the Lord be something to you," it's a prayer and a wish. But when an apostle of Christ says similar, it's an actual bestowal of the same. Because the apostles were the organ of Christ, and their words were the very words of Christ himself. So this is a given and imparted blessing, bestowed in Christ's name. And you'll notice a difference. When Paul means Timothy, he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit," singular. But then he says, "Grace be with you," plural. And he's extending it beyond Timothy to the churches on Ephesus and beyond as well. And it reminds us, doesn't it, that this is not limited, therefore, to Timothy. It goes beyond to other churches even at that time, and it goes beyond to us as well. Never imagine that anything given to an individual in the Bible stops there, but it is given in Christ's name to all who belong to Jesus Christ in a saving union. The text is, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, Timothy and you and me, if we are in Christ. This is his blessing. Now remember, Timothy was to take over the leadership of the churches from Paul. And what a daunting prospect it must have been. Because here is a timid man, sensitive, fearful, easily upset, and he's got to fill Paul's sandals, as it were. And he's got to be there in the place of this mighty apostle. And you see, when Paul would go, Timothy would be on his own. But not on his own. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. And that's a great comfort, because although humanly speaking, Timothy's human limitations counted against him, but an infinitely greater factor counted for him. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Well, let us look at this. And let us see two things here. The divine presence, the Lord Jesus Christ be with. And then the gracious difference, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. First then, the divine presence. To understand this, we need to see that Jesus Christ is present with his people in different ways, in three ways. He is present in heaven for us, in his glorified body at the Father's right hand, Hebrews 9 verse 24, there to appear in the presence of God for us. And that word appear means to declare and make known. And so he is at the Father's right hand as our mediator between God and us, our great high priest, our advocate, and he's there to mediate, to treat with God on our behalf. And he is there as our forerunner who has taken possession of heaven for us. So it's a comfort to think of this, that he mediates in heaven on our behalf, declaring what he has done for us, obtaining blessings for us there. And as forerunner, he possesses heaven for us, so that as surely as he is there, we will be there also. He'll not be in heaven and leave us behind. So he's made blessings sure for us. He's made heaven sure for us. And that's a great comfort. But that's not really what is meant by the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit, because he is located there in heaven in his glorified body. Secondly, he is everywhere present as divine, as God, his only presence, but specially with his people. Matthew 20 verse 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His surrounding, special presence, dear friends, with you. So that wherever we go, he is there with us. He's at our right hand. He goes before. He is our real wood. We take him with us. He goes with us. His presence there in that special, nearer way than anywhere else in the universe, especially with his people. But that's not what's meant here either. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Because thirdly, and this is the way that's meant, he indwells his people by the Spirit of Christ, the Comforter. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And so he is inwardly present with every one of his people. Christ in you, says Paul, the hope of glory. Not I, but Christ liveth in me, says Paul in Galatians chapter 2. And so he is in us by his Holy Spirit, and he can be with our spirit, our human spirit. And this is what Paul means here. So it's Christ inwardly known. Now, our spirit is often mentioned in the scriptures. It's the equivalent of the soul, often used interchangeably, but sometimes in addition. And it's that perhaps more sensitive and feeling part of us. So that certain things are going on in our spirit. For instance, when Jacob saw the wagons coming back with his sons as evidence that Joseph was yet alive in Egypt, we read that the spirit of Jacob revived. And he said, my son is yet alive. And what a lift up to his spirit it was. We read of a sorrowful spirit like Hannah, weighed down with grief. We read our Lord's words, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There was the deep desire, but you can't follow it up because of the weakness of the body and the mind. We read of being fervent in spirit. Or Romans 5 and verse 5, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. And also that the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, there are things that affect us inwardly that impact, if I may put it like this, our spirit and affects us deeply. Outward things often affecting our spirit. Sometimes in an unhappy way. And we say, that gets to me. That really gets to me. Impacting the spirit. In other ways, it's a great fillip and a great uplift to the spirit. But the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. His presence making all the difference. Now, the spirit can be either carnal or gracious. And if we think about David in Psalm 51 and verse 10 in his confession psalm following his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, and you'll notice that he says there in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, because not only the forgiveness of sin, but oh, a new beginning in holiness again. And renew a right spirit within me. What he's saying is, my spirit was wrong when I committed that sin. When I did that thing, when I committed adultery and followed it up with the murder of Uriah, my spirit was an unbelieving spirit. If I'd have really been aware of God, if I'd have really believed that God was there, I would have never dared to do that. But I was guilty of an unbelieving spirit. I rejected and put God out of my mind. It was a hard spirit that could possibly do that terrible thing to her husband and get him killed in order to save his own reputation. It was impenitent, an impenitent spirit. He wouldn't acknowledge his iniquity. He wouldn't confess his sin. He wouldn't repent. Not for nearly 9 months. He held out, an impenitent spirit. but look, renew a right spirit within me. Now I have been brought to repentance. Now I'm brokenhearted. Now I'm grieving over my sin and pouring out my confession and begging for forgiveness. Renew a right spirit within me. And that is a soft, believing, warm spirit, penitent spirit, careful spirit, grateful spirit. You see, what affects us in the spirit, in the realm of our spirit, affects us in every way, doesn't it? Renew a right spirit, a Christian spirit, as it were, within me now. No wonder this prayer then, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. And you say, well, if Jesus is present in us and with our spirit, by virtue of his indwelling and our union with him, why the prayer? Be with our spirit. And the reason is this, dear friends. What is a matter of fact is not necessarily a matter of experience. And you see, he is there. He is with our spirit, that close. But be with our spirit so that we know it in experience, so it affects us and changes us. This is not so much union, but it's communion that is being spoken about. And so that we have a truly Christian spirit. No wonder the prayer then for the presence. Oh, that the Lord Jesus be with my spirit, that I'm conscious that he's there, that I feel his effect, the effect of his presence, his divine working, and his making me gracious in my spirit, making me truly Christian, so that my bad attitude sometimes is dealt with and I'm gracious instead. My hardness is melted and I'm gentle and kind instead. So that my worldly spirit is dealt with, so that I'm not loving the world, not walking closely with it, but oh, a calm and heavenly frame. With thy spirit, the presence. Well, let's look at the gracious difference now, as well as the presence. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. What does it do? The problem is, you see, that our human spirit is affected by remaining sin. And it's often stirred up, isn't it, by outward things. Oh, how it affects our spirit. Something that someone has said, or some event that's happened, some piece of news we've received. And our reaction is a spirit that's perhaps not becoming. Ah, but if the Lord Jesus Christ is controlling, then that will counteract and that will make it and keep it right. And dear friends, we should realize that this is so. With thy spirit, he is there right with you, in the closest possible connection. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So close. Let me illustrate it like this. If the Lord Jesus Christ was present bodily and visibly, standing right next to you, and something provoking happened to you, would you suddenly go, "Oh!" You certainly wouldn't, because his presence would control you. He's right there. What does he think? You can't be like that, can you? You can't give vent to corruption and words and actions and attitude and spirit, not with him there. You perhaps wouldn't even do that if a respected Christian was standing right next to you, although that is possible, sadly. But if the visible presence of Christ next to you is such a check and such a sanctifying thing, how much more if he's closer to you than that with your spirit, and it has a gracious effect. And you can illustrate this in certain ways very wonderfully, the gracious difference made. Think of fearfulness. We get fearful sometimes, don't we? And we get anxious. But in the case of Jairus, with his daughter, our Lord was there with Jairus, you remember Mark 5 and verse 36, on the way to heal the daughter. As Jairus thought, servants come and tell him, "Thy daughter is dead, why trouble the master any further?" And with that crushing news, Jesus immediately says, "Be not afraid, only believe." And that was a great help to Jairus. And that's what our Lord says, you see. Fearful, anxious, troubled, some thing that makes you afraid. "Be not afraid," he says to you. "Only believe," and he lays that word on your spirit for your comfort. In chapter 1 of this epistle, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, "God hath not given to us the spirit of fear." He's not in the business of making you afraid by stirring up your spirit and making you fearful. He doesn't give you this, and if he doesn't give you this, it means you're not to have it. It's equivalent to a command, "Be not afraid." But he gives you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind to think rightly. 1 John 4 verse 18, "Perfect love casts out fear." How about your spirit being bathed in the perfect love of God, which is so perfect, complete, can never do you any harm, can never be unkind, can only bless you, casts out fear, makes your spirit strong. As the hymn puts it, "And his the gentle voice we hear, soft as the breath of even, that checks each fault, that calms each fear, and speaks of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is with thy spirit." Because he's with you, he's in control of everything. No need to fear. He's there, right there. He could not be closer, could not love you more, could not be more blessed for you. But how about weakness? Oh, weakness. Felt inadequacy in living out the Christian life, in something to have to cope with, some prospect, something that you quail before, wondering how you're going to deal with a matter. Well, the Apostle Paul, with his thorn in the flesh, was greatly weakened, but his testimony was, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And it was as if the Lord put that word upon Paul's spirit, and Paul was strengthened, and he could even say, "I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." And not just outwardly, you see, but affecting him inwardly and deeply, strong in the Lord now, and able to cope in his strength. That's what Paul knew in this very chapter, 2 Timothy 4, verse 16, that we read at my first answer, when he first appeared to before the Emperor Nero at his first hearing. All his Christian friends left him to it. They were too scared to identify with Paul in that place of danger. "They all forsook me." Verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and not only to give an answer, but actually to preach the gospel. And there now there's the possibility that the Emperor Nero heard the gospel from Paul's lips. What a thought! That monster of wickedness, about whom every conceivable barbarity and crime and cruelty is recorded. And Paul was delivered out of the mouth of the lion that first time. But the Lord stood with him that the preaching might be fully known, and by Nero perhaps, and the tribunal, and the other Romans present. Well, if Nero has heard the gospel and he's gone to hell, what condemnation. What an opportunity. The possibility that he could have been converted if it had been the Lord's purpose. We never know, do we, who has heard the gospel? But Paul was strengthened, you see. The Lord stood with him and strengthened him, and Paul felt a surge of strength in him because the Lord was there. But he's with your spirit, and he can strengthen you in that way. Heavy and depressed? What about when we're feeling like that? The Lord Jesus Christ with thy spirit. It was like that with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, remember? Walking with leaden footsteps and sad. And the Lord Jesus drew near and went with them. And then the beginning of that wonderful conversation. Their problem, of course, was that they didn't know the word of God as applying to their situation, did they? And isn't that often the problem with us when we're heavy and discouraged and even depressed? The word of God isn't speaking to us to help us. And all it needed was our Lord to open their understanding, to understand the scriptures, that Christ must be crucified and be raised again and enter into his glory. It was all the will of God for the salvation of sinners and the building of his church. And when they realized that, they were transformed. And they ran back to Jerusalem, 7 miles, very much more quickly than they'd walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they were absolutely transformed. The cure is always the word of God. Oh, when it's applied, when it's brought home to the understanding and to the spirit, and it really touches us. God has spoken, the word has come to me, and it changes me. And I see things differently now. I am comforted. It's through the spirit applied word to our human spirit and to our heart. Thy presence can without delay drive all my numerous cares away as chaff before the wind. Compose my thoughts to adore and love thee as an object far above, to thee alone inclined. And when the Lord does this so sweetly, we have what we read in Job 22 verse 29. There is lifting up. You see, we're cast down, weighed down, heavy, miserable, wretched. There is lifting up when the Lord Jesus with our spirit speaks to us and it is applied to us. More than read on the page of the Bible, more than heard through a preacher, but really applied inwardly in that by the internal minister of the Holy Spirit. And oh, how blessed it is then. Pray for this every time you read the Bible. Pray for this every time you hear preaching. Pray, because it's too easy to know the truth but not have it by way of receiving it and the benefit of it. So it changes you. Christ with your spirit blessing you through his word. That's the difference. How about not only a fearful spirit and a weak spirit and a heavy and depressed spirit? What about a wounded spirit? When we're really grieved and hurt by something. Proverbs 18, verse 14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Ordinarily, our spirit can be resilient. And the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? When that spirit is cut, pierced, wounded, and then we sort of collapse, and we're very upset. Well, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ with thy spirit, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He's the great physician who can soothe and who can bind up, who can heal and make whole again. It's his comforting presence. Jesus is with me. He's close by. I know he's here. I can look to him. I can pray to him. I can cast this care upon him. He careth for me. He sympathizes with me. As man in heaven, he remembers what it is to be human. He feels for me in the glory. And he's with me close by. He's with me by his spirit, inwardly with my spirit. What a blessing that is. Don't go about moping, wounded in spirit, but go to him, the one who can lift and calm and heal and bind up and strengthen. He's very accomplished at healing wounded spirits. He's doctor, he's nurse, he's carer, he is everything to his people. What about unclean thoughts that try to defile the spirit? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is with thy spirit, the Holy One, the Lovely One. Andrew Bonar once wrote this: the sweetness and blessedness of a present God causes a holy, heavenly satisfaction in the soul that altogether banishes impure desire. His presence, banishing everything unworthy, ungodly, unrighteous. As the devil injects such thoughts and images, the thought of Christ, his altogether loveliness, banishes them, keeps us from yielding to them, so that they're a temptation and not a sin. Unclean thoughts. What about one more? Angry, resentful spirit. Offended, hard spirit. Not the same now as we were. And we show it by being critical, complaining. Nothing is right. Everything is wrong. Almost impossible to speak to because you get snapped at. That's a wrong spirit, a sinful spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Could you be like that, I say, in his visible bodily presence, at your elbow? If he spoke to you, would you react to him like that? Like you do your fellow Christians? Like you do your nearest and dearest at home? Could you? Of course you couldn't, and neither could I. With thy spirit, he makes carnal nature recede, and his grace governs the spirit so that we're self-controlled and we're softened and sweetened instead. Think of Martha. She was possessed of a bad spirit, wasn't she? And you know the situation from Luke chapter 10, is one that can easily happen, it or its equivalent. Sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in his teaching, and Martha was sweating in the kitchen, trying to produce this overly big meal, and things getting out of control, getting far too much for her, being overwhelmed with the whole thing, and finally she snaps, and she storms out of the kitchen, comes into the presence of the Lord, and in this case, she actually does say, "Lord, speak to my sister, that she come and help me. She's left me to serve alone." My, that must have been a bad, daring spirit to have said that in the presence of Christ. What does Jesus say? "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful." You can imagine she sort of calms right down under that withering and yet very gentle rebuke and correction. And her spirit was changed. And she did learn the lesson, we're quite sure, because on a later occasion where Martha served supper in someone else's house, she did the serving but then was with the others at the table with Jesus. She got it right next time. And that angry, resentful spirit was dealt with. And so it is. And my dear friend, if you or I are provoked to speak and act like that, just remember the Lord is right there. And he can calm. Remember, send a telegraph prayer at that instant. "Lord, control my spirit. Keep me from saying wrong, acting in a wrong way." It only need be an instant from the silence of your mind, and he can calm you right down. You know that? The trouble is, you see, we forget, don't we? But the Lord is there. We forget to pray, and we launch into the reaction. But this is real religion, you see. The Lord controlling our spirit, making us what we should be. Impatience and all the rest of it, it's all the same kind of thing, isn't it? He is close, right there. Ever turn to him, pray to him for whatever you need. Trust him to apply his grace to you. And he will give you that grace. And we will be doing what the Lord Jesus himself did, you know. In Luke 10 and verse 21, we read something remarkable. We read, "In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." Rejoiced in his human spirit. You see, the Lord Jesus himself had a human spirit because he's fully human. What did he do? He rejoiced in it and he prayed. Dear friends, we can do that as well. Pray. Whether the Lord actually spoke out loud or whether it was in the silence of his mind to his Father, we're not told, are we? Perhaps he did speak out loud. But we don't need to speak out loud. We can rejoice in spirit, send a prayer up, and receive a blessing and a grace. And the Lord manifesting himself to our spirit to produce in us a truly Christian spirit. And dear friends, if this had always been the case in the churches of our country, would there have been the falling out between believers? Would there have been the angry words that stirred up strife? Would there have been the offences and the nursing of resentments and the festering root of bitternesses that have sometimes divided churches and ruined the work of God and brought reproach upon the gospel? How important it is to be Christians indeed in every situation. If Christians had always been like this, would there have been estrangements in even Christian families, certain sections of families not speaking to each other anymore. Oh, because he said that to me, I can never forget, I can never forgive. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. You'll never have an unforgiving spirit. There's always a forgiving one if he's there. May the Lord in his mercy keep us right. Here amongst ourselves in the church family, as he has done, thank God. Keep us right in our own families, amongst our own friends. And if there be any offences and fallings out and divisions, let it not be that we have caused it. Let us be the ones who've been the peacemaker, been the one who's shown sweet Christian love and forbearance and kindness. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. May it be so. In Jesus' name, Amen.